really long run. I mean, when does Sound of Music come out?
You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver. No authority at all.
She's just kicked him out. Pay some respect to the pure authority. Don't make a flex, don't do superiority. You're just a speck, and she's got seniority. Jackie Weaver is the authority.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Jackie Weaver Has the Authority with me, Jackie Weaver. Every episode, a famous face joins me as we answer life's big unanswered questions. The really important stuff like, is a Jaffa cake a cake or a biscuit? If this is your first time listening, welcome along. There's plenty of episodes to get your teeth into, including Jack Whitehall, Jay Rayner and the Rev Kate Botley. Oh, and Jeremy Vine. You can tweet your questions to at Jackie Weaver Pod or email jackie@giddyauntcomedy.com. The sillier the better. And if you don't want to miss an episode, remember to press subscribe. Whatever that means. Today's guest is a comedian, author and actor. The Peep Show royalty, it's Izzy Sutty. Hello there, Izzy. Thank you so much for taking some time out this afternoon, spending a little bit of time with me. And hopefully, between the two of us, we can ask and answer some questions that I think will have a big impact on the world, frankly. So, can I start by asking you to introduce yourself?
I can. You can. See, I'm doing it as well.
Following my lead.
I will introduce you. Hello. My name is Izzy Sutty. I am an actress and a comic and a writer. And I was born in Hull. And I was brought up in Derbyshire. And I've lived in London since the year 2000. But I still consider Matlock my home.
Okay, in Derbyshire, yeah. I have to ask you, first of all, if you do feel you have the authority to answer these questions, first of all.
Well, I feel that you, Jackie Weaver, have the ultimate authority. But if you are employing me as an assistant, I'm very happy to advise.
Well, I think between us we should be a good team.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's have a look at some of the questions that have been sent in. Should we start off with a football one?
I mean, why not? I mean, football,
my
life is ruled by football because my partner sort of has managed over the years to go from being a football fan to kind of inveigle himself in lots of football-related work things. So now he has to watch every match for work, which means I can't do anything about it. I know. So why not? I mean, I live and breathe it anyway.
That is so, do you know, that is so the opposite of me.
Is it?
I've never been to a football match. I have three sons, one husband, and I don't think we have ever in 35 years had a football match on the telly.
So did your sons ever like play it
no?
at school or anything?
No.
You honestly should advertise that. It's like a wife swap type thing. Like, you know, I would pay hundreds of pounds to come and stay in your house for a weekend and not hear about Swansea. Yeah. I quite like doing impressions of commentators. I don't understand anything that they mean. So it's like, yeah, now he's taking the ball down the right-hand side and he's shooting it into the crowd. And Ellis is like, what are you saying? It's not the right-hand side. There's no right-hand side of the pitch. But, yeah, I just don't.
What, is it port and starboard?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, take it to the starboard side. And the captain's going to give him the anchor. And then, you know, God, that'd be a lot more interesting if they had to play at sea.
Well, it's only loosely connected to football.
Okay, good.
A European Super League lasted about 48 hours. The potential for it lasted 48 hours. What would you like to see a Super League of?
Oh, that's a really good question. I mean, the first thing that sprung into my head is knitting.
Okay.
Because that's what I love. I don't get to do it enough. And I feel like if there was a Super League and I could try and join it, I too could pass knitting off as my job rather than a hobby. But how would you grade people? Do you think it would be, do you knit?
Yeah, so I'm thinking, is this going to be quality, quantity,
yeah, or
length,
speed,
duration, speed? Yeah.
Do you think it could have different categories? So, like, you'd divide it up. So it'd be speed, ambition, kind of uniqueness of end product.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking just, you know, start and go for it. 4 miles later, you've won. That's the answer. It would be a marathon.
Okay.
And instead of actually having to walk it, you'd have to cast on 75 stitches, knit them in stocking stitch, 25 miles.
25 miles of knitting? Or knit what? You can't stop until you've done 25 miles.
That's it, 25 miles. Oh, it shows you what I know about sport. I mean, however long a marathon is.
Yeah, okay, I like it. Yeah, you do. You knit for the length. You knit for the time a marathon, an average marathon would take to run.
Okay.
And then you see how long you've got. You see how long a scarf you've got. Are we going to, do you think, just a straight 75?
No, I think we just go for a straight, you know, 5 miles long and then use them to lag boilers.
Okay.
I mean, I think that could save the planet at the same time.
Or decorate post boxes. You ever seen, have you got this up there? We've got... This round here, we sometimes see like tea cozies on the top of post boxes and stuff like that. And it's, I think it's quite cool, really.
You see, I find that more socially acceptable than crocheted toilet roll holders.
Oh my God, me too. There's something a bit unhygienic. See,
that's a granny thing, isn't
yeah.
it? Well, you're not supposed to use them. You're only supposed to use the toilet rolls inside them.
Oh, I see. That's where I've been going wrong.
Yeah.
My grandma used to have, did you ever see this? I've not seen it since for about 30 years. It was like a box on the wall which had toilet paper in it, and it was square pieces of toilet roll that came out one by one.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to be very careful of that. If you folded it incorrectly, then it could give you a very nasty paper cut.
Yes.
In a place you really didn't want a nasty paper cut.
You sound like you might speak from experience.
And talking about strange things that happened in bathrooms in the years gone by, did your mother ever decorate soap?
What do you mean by decorate? Like painting it?
No, but you know, kind of alongside the doilies that covered your toilet rolls, because they are offensive to look at.
They are.
In the raw, you know. Yeah.
I've actually never seen one in real life.
Haven't you?
No. You know, like when people haven't seen like a lion.
Yeah.
Like, I actually haven't seen one of those. I mean, do they actually
exist?
Oh,
the crochet things. I thought you meant toilet rolls.
No, the crochet things.
I will do one for you.
Oh, please.
Izzy, your home needs one. No, the soap thing was, you know, take a bar of soap. Take a pin, stick a pearl on the pin and stick the pin in the soap and make it into a beautifully detailed pattern.
Okay. God, I mean, no, I don't know anything about this.
I mean, you're kind of looking as if this might not be worthwhile doing, and yet you had no problem with the 5 miles of knitting. So, Super League of Knitters.
Yeah.
I think we went
No decorated soaps, Super League of Knitters. Are we going to let beginners in, or are we going to say this really is a Super League? Is it going to be like the football thing where it's me and you, because obviously we're the most excellent knitters in the country, and then a couple of others that we might choose?
I don't know, because I always like to keep things real, you know, and I'm thinking of things like the Sewing Bee. And the Great British Bake Off. And I don't know if you've noticed, but, you know, they start off by having, you know, the skills and abilities of a demented hamster. And two episodes in, and, you know, they're creating designer wear. Yeah,
that is
true. So, you know, how long can you be a novice for?
Yeah, maybe if you've got kind of the expertise around of experts, then you can improve really quickly. So why not get a couple of footballers maybe who've never knitted before, who want to try it.
could do. And the other thing, of course, I think to give them a helping hand with this, I think we let them just do what so many young people do these days, and that is knit with two chair legs.
Fine. Yeah. What, with normal wool or with, like, rope?
A rope, probably, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Does it sound too difficult, does it? 75 stitches on a chair leg of rope.
You think we should ask them to put beads on there as well?
Oh, yeah, why not? And decorate some soap at the same time with their feet while they're knitting.
Moving on.
Yes.
Right, okay. I think you mentioned that your husband is Welsh, your partner is Welsh.
Yes.
So I think this is a really good question for you. Carly wants to know, is having a holiday in the UK a staycation or a holiday?
Oh, that is a good question. There's been a lot of debate about this, hasn't there? Because of certain government members saying that, yes, kind of creating a different meaning for the word staycation. For me, any kind of holiday is just stress in a different place, because I've got a two-year-old and a six-year-old. So it's like stopping the two-year-old from jumping off tables and climbing into bins. He actually climbed into our bin earlier. And the six-year-old, actually, she's not as accident-prone now. She's a bit older. But I just, wherever we are, I'm like, right, got to survey the area, got to find things that he can stick his finger in or eat. Or so I almost don't mind whether, I mean, we went on holiday to Berkhamsted last year. Right. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with Berkhamsted, but people were laughing a bit because they were saying, where are you going? People were trying to get abroad to, like, the south of France and stuff. And I was like, we're going to Berkhamsted, which I only found out was called Berkhamsted and not Berkhamsted when I was there. And we've got this Airbnb and it was lovely. And we went there because it was near my mum and her partner and near my sister and her partner. And so kind of people taking the mickey a bit because it's a commuter town near London where we live. But for me, it was just a big house and we don't have a big house. We're a big garden and we don't have a garden and we've been in lockdown. So for me, staycation and holiday kind of mean the same thing, which is try and find a different environment where you can be stressed in a slightly different way from home until the kids grow up.
You see, I don't know if maybe partners are different from husbands, that they might be, but certainly my experience when we're taking the children somewhere like Tenerife has been that, you know, Stuart relaxes very quickly.
Oh, really? And then you're kind of, we got the sun cream and no one's eaten for 16 hours and, right, yeah.
You know, kind of like, I'm on holiday.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
We got into this habit early in lockdown. So Ellis is my fiancé, but I hate saying that.
Why?
It just sounds a bit, I don't know, it just Do you not think it sounds a bit... I don't know. I feel like it's like saying, instead of saying my car, saying my Peugeot. And maybe it's all right. Well, I'm glad. But I'm going to say Jackie Weaver said it was all right.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, we will get married at some point. So he actually... We came to this agreement early in lockdown that I would do all the cooking and cleaning and he would do all the early mornings, because our baby was waking up at like 4:30 at the beginning of lockdown a year ago. So he actually does get quite stressed because he's sort of seen what it's like having a baby running around and knocking into things and stuff, perhaps a bit more than some other partners who work more than the other one. Because I think there's often one who works a bit more and one who does a bit more childcare. So, but generally, yeah, I do know that thing of being on holiday and one person is the one who packs the bag and who makes the picnic and who makes sure there's enough water and you've got your bucket and spades and the other one is just, like, away with the fairies, you know.
So I guess we're both looking for the day when we can join the fairies.
Yeah, we are. I mean, do you ever get back from holiday and think, I need a holiday, and then realise how ridiculous that is?
Oh, it's not ridiculous at all. I mean, I can remember taking the, when the children were younger, much younger, like they're nearly 30 now. And we don't take them on holiday anymore. When we used to go on holiday to Barmouth, I mean, we literally had a roof rack and the cot would be on it not a pop-up cot. My husband would have disassembled the cot.
It was actually the cot.
And put it, you know, and kind of recreated as much of a home from home when we got there. And yeah, when you got back, it was just like, you know, so not only you got an ordinary week, but you had all the packing to do, all the somehow getting it and three children into the car, the three children who cannot touch each other because of fear of spontaneous human combustion or something like that.
Right,
because,
yeah,
you know, any touching would result in screaming.
Yeah.
And it was just like exhaustion. You'd get back and then you'd have to do it in reverse.
You got the screwdriver out and put the car back together. Oh, my God. We took my daughter skiing when she was 3.5 months old. And my mum, when we booked it, I was pregnant and it was our first kid. And my mum said, "You are not going to want to take her skiing when she's a newborn." And I was like, "It'll be fine. I love skiing. I go every year." And then it was like unbelievably stressful getting to France, getting the transfer. And yeah, it was really full on. I think I skied for a total of like 2 hours in the whole week.
Yeah. Do they have little baby skis for them when they're that old?
No, we just kind of put her in a shoebox and let her go first. And she loved it. No, can I just say, we didn't, if anyone's listening, we put her in a creche that I thought I would be very chilled out about, and I was extremely hormonal and hated leaving her, and just couldn't really do it.
So the whole thing didn't kind of work then.
No, it just didn't really. And then you sort of think, oh, well, I'll have the evenings, but we were just so tired and like don't want to drink really, because I was just kind of happy to come home from that one, and I've never been skiing again. But
now, talking about drinking,
yes,
I read somewhere that you said that when you were about 29, part of your aspiration for the weekend was to get hammered and then to sleep it off behind the bins. Now, I got the bit about getting hammered. We didn't quite call it that in my day, but there you go. But I didn't really understand the desire for sleeping it off behind the bins.
Yes. Well, now, this proves how much I've changed since I wrote that, because I don't like that idea now either.
No.
I'm trying to rack my brain to think, how could that ever have seemed like a good idea? But I think it was basically like, what's going to happen? I'm going to drink so much. Am I going to end up buying a one-way ticket to Prague with a group of people I've just met? Or am I going to end up behind a bin? Probably behind the bin, because I don't know that many people who tend to go to Prague on the spur of the moment. But I think the getting hammered thing was what I used to really love.
But
and I've
so
always
much, so
been
much
such
bins.
A lightweight. Not so much the bins. Maybe my own bin that, you know, my son's now trying to climb into many years later. I think if it's beside your own bin, it's all right. I remember falling. Have you ever done this? I've been at parties where I've got so drunk I've just fallen asleep, like on the floor of the bathroom. I remember doing that at a house party when I was like 18. I'd wake up and see various people coming in and using the toilet, then kind of pass out again. And, I mean, I don't know now why that was ever an ambition to get that drunk.
I guess.
But I'm a real lightweight, Jackie. I only used to have like, honestly, like maybe 3 drinks and I'd nearly be falling asleep behind the bins. Like, I actually have never been able to drink that much. Some people really can.
I was going to say, I think these days they call that a cheap date.
Yeah, they do.
I was trying to think of what I can remember being drunk. We always, as a family, used to travel up to Scotland at Hogmanay. And I remember that on New Year's Eve, we went first footing, which is, you know, you go around all the other hotels and, you know, everywhere you go in, they give you a piece of fruitcake or whatever you can scrounge and some whiskey. And I can only have been about 16, if that. And so we made it back to the hotel and everybody kind of crawled off to bed and off we went. And in the morning I woke up and I thought, wow, I feel amazing. Went downstairs, helped myself to the buffet breakfast the hotel had laid out. You know, eventually everybody else got up and I was still going, oh, I'm feeling good. And then we went out for, well, it would be lunch, but it was only really coffee we were having. And I remember sitting there thinking, I don't feel well. And I was ill for 4 days.
Oh, so God, clearly you just basically... I thought this might be where it was heading. I thought, is she actually like a superwoman who never got the effects of it? I really know that feeling of waking up and thinking, oh, I've got away with this, which maybe you didn't even think then because you're so young, you know. But just like, you're basically still drunk from the night before, aren't you? And you're kind of really floaty and you feel great. And then, oh, God, it's... Yeah. Yeah. I remember that time that I fell asleep on the bathroom floor... we lived at the bottom of a hill in Matlock, and my parents just couldn't really control me, and I was quite an out of control teenager, really. And me and my friend had drunk a bottle of tequila in 20 minutes with doing a slammer each and then passing it to and fro. And it was like a delayed effect, a bit like that. Like, I was like, I'm fine, I don't feel drunk at all. And then literally 20 minutes later, I was like, and I, on the mantelpiece, they had like wedding presents and ornaments and stuff like that onto a hard floor. This was in the dining room. And I ran my hand along the mantelpiece, like when you get a piano and you run your fingers down the keys, and everything fell off and smashed. And then we left and we saw Mum and Dad coming down as we were walking up. And I was like, Mum, I've just run my hand along the mantelpiece. And we just ran off and went to this party. I mean, I feel so sorry for her now. I just... But it's weird because I did think for about 20 minutes, I was like, it's not worked. I'm fine. I've drunk half a bottle of tequila and I'm fine. And yeah, no, I really wasn't.
Isn't it amazing how we look back on those as kind of like the happy days?
I know. And then now I've got a daughter. Well, and a son, but I just know how bad I was. I'm hoping that both of them might take after Ellis. But I'm just like, oh no, please don't be like I was. Every time they read a book, I'm like, yeah, carry on reading books. You can stay at home. You can live at home till you're 25. Just don't go out and drink. And, yeah.
The chairman of the council is the chairman of the council.
Is like weird, but I think you're going to know the answer to this.
Okay.
June in Hereford wants to know, who would win a fist fight between Dobby and Big Susie?
Right, okay. Well, now the actress who plays Big Suze is called Sophie Winkleman, and she is married to a royal, so she's a very elegant, she's royalty, and I'm certainly not. So I'm thinking that, now what do you think? Do you think the royals would do well in fist fights generally? They probably do quite a lot of Pilates and stuff, don't they? And yoga and all that. And I run, but that's it. I don't think running strengthens your arms, does it?
No. You see, if I was royalty, I would just send the butler in.
Oh, yes, so yeah. She could just do that.
Yeah.
I mean, she's still an actress and everything like that, but I'm thinking she's got access to the butlers, she's got access to security and stuff. So definitely then she would win, wouldn't she?
Big Suze?
Now, that's if we're talking about real life. If we're talking about the characters, right. Dobby and Big Suze, I reckon it'd probably be Dobby because she's a bit more feisty than I am, but I think in real life it'd be Sophie.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, in a fight... you know, like if somebody came up to you in a pub or something, what would you be like?
Oh my God.
Would you run?
I'm happy to say it's never happened. No, I'm touching wood here at the table. Would I run? I think I'm a real, real people pleaser. And I'm also really sit on the fence with everything. So I don't know how that would translate into a kind of emergency situation of someone going, you spilled my drink and...
Do you want to hit me?
Try and buy them another one. It could be like, I'll buy you 10 drinks. You can have all my money. Yeah. I don't think I'd do very well.
Oh, dear. So avoiding
and I've never hit anyone. I've never hit... Even me and my sister never had, like, fights or anything. We had verbal fights, but we never, you know, some siblings actually really scrap, don't they? Or throw things at each other. We never did that. So I've actually never, yeah. So who knows? Maybe I'd find this inner strength I didn't know I had, but I'd quite like a butler to send in as well.
Go fight that man for me.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, which one to go for now? Is it better to stick out my job, which is really boring, but pays well, or try and do something new, but potentially have no income?
Who's that from?
Anonymous. Clearly, they're not sure whether they want to leave the job yet.
No, I know. It might be from Boris Johnson. We need to know what they do, don't we? But shall we assume they do something? What's a typically unfulfilling job? Maybe something they don't feel very stretched by?
I'm kind of just struggling with their concept that life is about enjoying your job. Who said that? They pay you. I mean, if it was really great, they wouldn't even bother paying you because you just turn up and do it.
Yeah, that's true. Did they say that they get paid well?
Yes. It's boring but pays well.
Pays well. Oh. The thing is, though, you do see those. When I used to do a lot more stand-up, I used to go to these commuter towns near London, like Berkhamsted, where I ended up going on holiday decades later. And I'd be on the train at rush hour going to do my gig. And I'd be on the train with all these commuters because it'd be like 6 o'clock at night and I'd have my big guitar and I'd really annoy them all and poke them in the ribs with it. And some of them looked so miserable. And I used to think, is this worth it? In my sort of perhaps naive 28-year-old way, I was like, you look really miserable and I bet you earn loads of money, but you probably don't see your kids very much and all that. So is it better maybe to earn a bit less and be fulfilled? Does it depend what else this person has got in their life? Because if the rest of their lives are full of like knitting and naked butlers and all that, then it wouldn't matter, does it, if they don't really like the job?
Except that you're not going to get many butlers if you don't have any money.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's... Unless they're also, the butlers are doing it, I don't know, as a kind of apprenticeship and they're not getting paid, but I'm setting up a chain of...
I think I saw that Naked Butler film and I don't think it ended well. I think we ended up in a dungeon and there was lots of rubber and stuff involved.
Yeah, I think actually anything with Naked Butlers perhaps doesn't. Yeah.
And the silver salver
well
came
if people
out.
Are let yeah. loose.
Had the silver salver, but it wasn't steak that was on it.
I think my advice would be we're supposed to say something like, life's too short, aren't we? Like, life's too short, go and grab what you want, but I'm not sure I believe in all that stuff. If you've got a mortgage to pay, just keep doing your job.
I mean, I guess there's so much. I mean, it's like, you know, do you want reality or do you want to just live your life by fridge magnets?
Yeah.
You know, there's so much of the kind of inspirational stuff that, you know, really isn't fit for anything else other than covering the outside of a rusty freezer.
Well, I think the more general it is, the worse it is. You know, when it's like... You know, you got this. Have you ever heard that? You got this. Anne and my friend Zoe, we hate those hashtag things so much that I got them a magnet each saying, Anne, you got it. And Zoe, you got it as a joke. And now they've got it on the freezers. And then I think people must come round and think, oh no, they've got personalised magnets with all those hashtag things on it. But I am with you, Jackie. I hate them. And if people start talking like that, I just think that's a really easy way of me not wanting to spend any time with you. I've just, you know, so I suppose, yeah, if we were those kinds of people, we'd say to this person, babe, you got it. Live your best life.
Lovely answer. I guess for me, it's about, you know, when you say things like, you know, we should all enjoy our jobs. There has to be a caveat to that, you know, that goes along the lines of, apart from the grave diggers and the people who clean septic tanks. And, you know, the list is quite long of people that will not for one moment go to work in the morning thinking, great, what septic tanks can I empty today? you know, we'll just do it as a job and we're grateful for it. But we can't all do something that we're passionately enthusiastic about.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, I worry about children that grow up with the permanent message of you're special.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I have them have this vision of them going for their first job. And the interviewer saying to them, now, Izzy, are you a good team player? And you say, well, no, not really, because I'm special.
Yeah, exactly. I don't tend to work very well in teams. I only want to work on my own because I'm the most special of all. Yeah, yeah, I know. And also, I think that it puts too much pressure on the kid, weirdly, because it's like if they're always told they're special and they're brilliant and they've never, ever told that they're not, then I think actually it's a kind of, it feels unsustainable for them. My mum came to see me in The Sound of Music when I was 16, and I always wanted to be a performer. I wanted to write as well. I didn't quite know in what way, but I always wanted to perform. And then I was like, was I all right? And she went, you were adequate.
Wow.
And I was like, but actually it is better. And then when she said I was good, I knew she meant it. It is better.
Oh, no. No, your mum should have lied.
Do you think so?
Let somebody else tell you the truth.
Well, I hope she's listening to this.
That's the one person that should say you're special.
Oh, so you mean if people are saying, like, if kids are told at school you're special?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Oh, your mum should always think you're special.
Oh, right, okay. Well, mate, do you know what? Yeah. Look how well I've done considering that I had my parents telling me I was adequate. I'm going to take them to court.
Well, I mean, you've had a really long run. I mean, when does Sound of Music come out?
Yes, I was minus 20 when it came out.
Keeping those hills alive all this time, that's just fantastic.
Could I ask you to be respectful to Jackie Weaver, please?
You must subscribe or leave a review.
Okay, two quick ones then.
Okay.
I could talk to you forever, Izzy.
Yes,
you're a joy
I feel
to
like
talk
that too.
To. Okay, so David in Birmingham wants to know, he feels like buying a boat, as you do, but doesn't know what to name it. He wants you to tell him what would be a good name for a boat.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's a great honour, isn't it? We don't know much about him. We know his name's David and he's from Birmingham.
Has trouble making decisions.
He definitely does. I mean, I wonder if he's the same person who emailed about the job, but we can't find out. I mean, in which case I would say buy the boat and let that become, do it up and that can be your job. David from Birmingham. What would I name it? Maybe Brummy McBrumface?
That's a really good answer.
Yeah. Then there's a story behind it. You can have it painted on there. Connection to the Boaty McBoatface thing. Brummies are a real great people with a great sense of humour, and it'd be a talking point. So wherever he took the boat, people would know that he was from Birmingham, and that's good. He could call it David's Boat.
Yeah, David's
that's
Boat.
That's my other suggestion.
Brummy Davy's Boat.
Yeah, Brummy Davy's Boat.
Yeah, it's not the same problems you have calling a pet, is it? It's not like he's going to have to go out at night and shout it.
Shout for it, unless something's gone terribly wrong and it's developed, it's alive and it's trying to swim away. Yeah. It's possessed. I mean, that's a good plot for a film, isn't it? Someone from Birmingham buys a boat and it becomes possessed and tries to swim away and they have to shout its name.
In which case, I think we need to reconsider the name.
Yeah, maybe we do. It's something really... What's a kind of very benign name for a boat that you see quite a lot? But don't you think names for boats are a bit like that hashtag thing? You know, like that, you got this... like. There are some names for boats that you just instantly forgettable because they just mean nothing.
And the funky spelling that they think are hugely funny.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
I reckon there's a kind of, you know, the people who live on barges and stuff. I think there's a probably real community between them. And I reckon there's probably quite a lot of talk about the names of their boats, don't you?
Isn't that really interesting? I'd not thought of it as that kind of boat.
Oh, hadn't you? I immediately thought of it as that. What did you think?
Oh, that is interesting. Sailing boat.
Oh, right. I thought of it as a...
open sea, yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, so that's very different, actually. I think my Brummy McBrumface for a sailing boat is even more brilliant than it being... I was thinking of one that goes on canals, you know?
Yeah, got that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course you've got more room to write the name on that as well, haven't you?
Yeah, no, that's it.
Quite long. Yeah.
I was thinking because of in Berkhamsted, which I actually am doing quite a good deed in bigging up so much in this podcast. There's a canal there and there's lots of boats and we walked past them and we were looking at all the names. We did that quite a lot because everything was closed because of COVID. So that's I think why I immediately thought of that, and also because I used to go on bell ringing barge holidays when I was a kid, where all the bell ringers would rent a barge and then plan the route according to where the churches were, then have to moor up. And all the kids used to play in the graveyards because my mum was a bell ringer, while they rang bells at a certain belfry. Then we'd get back on the boats and go to the next one. So, yeah, that's why I thought of them. And unbelievably, after that, I do what fancy going on one again. Brummy McBrumface. I'm going to stick with it. I think even for a sailing boat, don't you? I think it's even funnier.
Well, I am going to go for Davy's Locker.
Okay. Yes. You know,
picking up the theme. Of
I can
the,
see why. You know, yeah. You know. Yeah. I like that.
I think that's. I'm going to take that away and mull it over. Why would we jump to the conclusion we did over the boats?
Yeah.
Okay. Final question. And apparently we have a producer because he has submitted a question.
Okay.
And he asks, Izzy, you've written a book. Did you know you had?
No, I didn't. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know.
Well, you're going to be no help with this one then, because I was going to ask you, what's it called and what's it about?
Oh, actually, I've just remembered. It's called Jane is Trying, and it's out on July the 22nd. And it's about a woman called Jane who's very, a bit lost. She's in her late 30s. She's living in London with her fiancé. And then she finds out that he's cheated on her. And she moves back in with her parents to a kind of sleepy northern town that's basically a cross between Matlock and a place down the road called Bonsall and a few other places that I've been to. But I set everything that I write in Matlock. So I had to call it something else and give it a few other characteristics as well. And so she moves back in with her parents, who have always kind of spoiled her a bit, and they're all a little bit anxious as a family. And she tries to get on with her life, and then various things happen to her. But she's kind of surrounded by this host of oddballs who are all kind of trying to help but messing things up for her even more. So it's about her kind of learning how to move on her own, really, without leaning on other people.
Does she get back with him?
All I'm going to say is she starts to do things on her own terms.
Okay, because you know us women are no good without a hero.
No, I know.
No.
Don't worry. There is a hero, but it's not the same as those books that I used to love where, you're like, aww, well, they won't they?
Lovely. And sorry, when did you say that was out?
July the 22nd. And it's called Jane is Trying, which I might not have said, but yeah.
Lovely, Izzy. I'm definitely going to go and have a look, because I have to find out if she gets the man back.
Oh, thank you. It's got a bit of swearing in it, but you can... I mean, you've dealt
with...
I would be
okay with that.
You've dealt with... it's nothing like how elegantly you handled that group of horrible men.
I'll mentally bleep when I get to the bad words.
They weren't all horrible. Some nice men.
Yes, there were.
Yeah, there were some nice men. Yeah.
Yeah, there were some definite rescuers there.
Yes, there were. And I thought that women were... And one of the women in... It really looked like my mum. And I can't remember her name, but it's the one with the short blonde hair.
Cynthia. But she was on...
Cynthia. Yeah, it says Sin, doesn't it? C-Y-N. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Sin looks like my mum. So... I felt like I was watching my mum. And actually, it's not that far away from the kind of thing that mum does with the bell ringers meetings and the organ playing and things like that. So anyway.
This all sounds like a euphemism for something.
I mean, it does, doesn't it? Naked butlers and possessed boats.
In fact,
I feel like we've written a whole film tonight.
Do you
tonight?
Not think we already have the basis of a really good follow-up for you?
Yes, I really do, actually. Yeah, I'll thank you. I'll dedicate it to you. And I'll thank you. And it better be called, I don't know, do you think it ought to be called Brummy McBrumface? Or do you think that's a bit obvious?
I think we need to hear the story first.
Yeah, and then we'll come. Yeah. It's like when you make a band and you did you ever do this at school? You decide on the name of the band and then your first album, your second album, you've not written any songs. You need to know. Oh, I did that a lot. So we'd spend ages and ages designing the cover of our album. Then we'd go, actually, we can't play any instruments. So, yeah, I'll write it first. Then we'll... We've got the plot.
Well, if you've got the plot...
Yeah.
What more could you want? Oh, Izzy, it's been terrific chatting with you this afternoon.
Yeah, you too.
I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been a pleasure.
I've loved it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much to Izzy. And thank you for listening. Please do subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you're enjoying this podcast, I'd really appreciate you rating and leaving a nice review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. Please do consider supporting this show on Patreon. Patreon is a nifty way of helping independent podcasts, like this one, keep doing what they're doing. For as little as £3 a month, you can get bonus bits, ad-free episodes, shout-outs, Zoom hangouts, and more. At least 10% of every donation goes to the anti-bullying programme to help tackle bullying. So thank you to my Julie's iPad patrons, Kate Dawes, Helen Rounce, Connor Farley and Judith Elliott. And a special thank you to Rebecca Dutneil too. If you'd like to support the show, just Google Jackie Weaver Patreon or click the link in the show notes of this episode. That's all for today's show. Thank you for listening. And remember... You do have the authority.
She's kicked him out.
Jackie Weaver has the authority. Your time is up. Subscribe and leave a nice review. Follow at Jackie Weaver Pod on Twitter. Support the show on Patreon. We hope you enjoyed the show.